The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, an Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm the mystical, magical, illusionist, entertainer, David Blaine.
David, yeah. So happy to have you here. Wow, what an honor.
Sorry, I got delayed by some crosswinds over Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And so it delayed me coming into the studio today.
Just a few days after your dramatic ascent, holding a...
Like
holding a lot of
balloons.
A
yeah.
great deal of
upping
balloons.
Yourself is what the kids call it.
Yeah, I did an up, and it was an exhilarating journey that brought the country together, and it was an illusion. And also, I liked doing it a lot, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
So that's the only means of conveyance you're using.
So now I do it all the time, because when you get on an airplane,
uh-huh.
they aren't doing a great job of the social distancing. Have you guys heard about this?
No one was as social. You might have been, David, the most. You got up to 24,900 feet.
Yeah.
You must have been the most. You might have been the most socially distanced person on the planet.
Well, I was until one of my balloons popped and it released the stinky breath of a sick man. The balloons were all blown up by a big man with powerful breath, and I found out later he was sick with it. So I don't know. It was, again, the crosswinds may have diluted it somewhat. But
that may have been Smilex gas. You know how the Joker do.
Yeah. The Joker's always on my nuts.
Can I give you... I just want to say thank you, Mr. Blaine,
yes.
Because it is amazing how your balloon trip captivated the hearts and minds of everyone. And for days now, it's all anyone has been talking about across all social. It's literally the only thing being discussed. It is, I think, the first thing that has distracted everyone from everything. It's amazing.
As interested as I'm here to hear him to hear about David's experience with the balloon, I'd like to talk about my experience, which is I saw on Twitter about a half hour after it ended that it had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, I didn't fucking hear about that. He did what? I like to pretend that David Blaine was like, if I could tell him that personally, like, I know you went up in the air with balloons you're holding, I didn't find out about it till later, and I couldn't be bothered.
David,
and then, David, by the way, when I did watch it, I did skip around quite a bit.
That's
your
okay.
journey and your ascension and decline, even your falling through the fucking air, I was
took a
David,
minute.
Can I, may I ask? Because it
wow,
kind of
you sure
to
aren't really giving me room to speak about my incredible sky journey. I'm sure
no, because
you guys
I do want to hear about it. I do, David.
Yeah.
David, I do.
Yeah.
But to Justin's point, it kind of seems to me like maybe that, unlike, you know, where you sat in a big fishbowl for a long time, or you claimed to be frozen in ice, even though our daddy did that, and you're
Clint's kids.
Yeah, the creator of the frozen in ice gag. It kind of seems like this one wasn't like a publicity thing so much as it was just something you were going to do on your own and somebody noticed and pointed a camera at you. It didn't seem like it was advertised in any way beforehand. Is that true?
No, we did a sort of street team advertisement, but with balloon, we tied it like with the URL, we put it on some paper and we tied it to balloons. But wouldn't you know it, the dag nab things dang did flew up into the sky so no one could see them.
David, I'd like to talk about one feature of your stunt that I thought was so captivating.
Good.
There's a young woman there who I believe was your daughter. I don't know for
me
sure.
Either. Me neither.
But she attached the final balloon that began your ascent into the sky. Put you over. That was so lovely. I wanted to know, did you consider the fact that if something did go terribly wrong, she would have like YouTube live streamed evidence that she could revisit for the rest of her existence of that time she killed her dad with a balloon? Did you think about that outcome?
It's part of the illusion, isn't it?
Well, there's no illusion.
No, whoa.
You're very clear about this.
That was you in the balloons, right? Unless that was the trick? That was you in the balloons, right?
I never give it away my secrets, but I had an invisible. It was a very big ladder.
There were some people.
Oh, wait, hold on, Justin. I want to hear more about this giant invisible ladder technology. Okay.
It was a big ladder, 10,000-foot ladder. I didn't even get up the whole dang thing.
In these times when things are changing so much, I would like to repeat a little bit of consistency in the world. I showed your stunt to my wife, who reacted the way she has reacted to all of your stunts for the past decade. She watched in silence and then said, "That fucking idiot."
Oh.
Every single time, David.
It hurts my feelings, or does it?
What did Leo think of this?
Leo loved it. I'm not sure who you're referring
to. Your friend Leo DiCaprio. You're friends with a lot of celebs.
Yeah, he liked it one time. He had a watch, and I made it not there anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was pretty badass. And then
now, what did Edward Norton think?
And then I threw up a frog, but that was unrelated.
Tell me about the time you set Edward Norton's shoes on fire spit water on them so hard that they went out.
Yes, please.
Well, it was his fucking birthday.
Oh.
And I took him out to dinner at a Ruth's Chris, and they were doing it hibachi style.
Okay.
Yeah, go on. This is a more thorough recounting.
I'm not gonna try to jump to conclusions here, but Chekhov's gun, you've introduced a hibachi and his shoes are on fire. I'm having a hard time not connecting the two.
Well, that may be a faint, though. It may be a red herring.
Yeah.
I get you looking over there at the hibachi table, and then when it happens, your watch is not fucking there anymore.
Whoa, you stole my watch.
Yep. And then
you replaced it with Edward Norton's shoes?
Yep. And then what's that in my mouth? It's another frog. Damn it.
Now, so how did the shoes come to ignite?
I'm not going to give you all my secrets, but I...
Was that the trick, that you made his shoes flammable?
Yeah. I changed the stuff that it's made out of into a sort of polyester of my own design. I have my own shoe line of extremely burnable shoes dropping this summer. Oh, wait, summer's over. I forgot. Man.
I guess I just thought that the trick was how much water you regurgitated upon his shoes.
No. Hey, you want to see me float?
Woo! Yep. Whoa! Bye,
okay, I'm going to float off. But anyway, yeah, I got lunch plans with fucking Balloon Boy. Me and Balloon Boy are going to hit up Bruce Chris, and you know what he's in for. Say goodbye to your kids, Balloon Boy. Cooking them up hibachi style.
Oh, man. What a big get.
Oh, man, I had so many questions to ask him that I forgot.
Yeah, there's a lot.
What did you mean?
Hey, sorry, David. Just real
attention.
Quick. How did you put my playing card inside the bottle?
Oh, it was the bottle isn't real.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Okay. I see that.
Hey, guys.
Now.
David just floated out the window in his big balloons.
Griffin, are you ready to start my brother, and me?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Just press record, everybody.
Okay.
And so this is an advice show.
So obviously.
Let's help people. I live in an apartment building, and today the windows are being washed. Since I am working from home in a tiny apartment, my desk is 6 inches away from the window, and a window washing guy just dropped into view. We acknowledged each other, and I thanked him, and now I'm sitting here pretending to work, staring at my computer screen, while this gentleman is literally 6 inches from me, staring back at me while doing his job. I have a full cup of coffee and toast already on my desk, so there's no excuse to get up and put around the kitchen. The anxiety I currently feel is unlike anything I've ever felt. How do I most effectively cover the fact or convey the fact that I'm definitely working and not just trying to avoid eye contact with him? That's from working in Washington.
I think my favorite part of this question is the conceit, the belief that if you got up to go to the kitchen, the window washer would be like, where are you going? You got a full cup of coffee. Where are you going? Is this about me?
This is one of many questions, and it's a genre of question that we get from our listeners, who I adore because we are so very alike, us and our listeners, where you are assuming that this person's sort of whole mindset is about you in this moment, mm-hmm. because that's what anxiety does to you, when really you can get up. And they're not gonna pay you any mind. They're listening to the radio. They're
or focusing on not falling to their death, which is what I would be doing in their position.
Yeah, they're on the clock and they're dialed in. They're probably not concerned with you or what you're doing or anything about you. Because guess what? They're gonna go by a bunch of windows with a bunch of people working in them. If they gave a shit about every single person in every single window, it would take up a lot of sort of emotional lift.
Now, okay, here's what I will say, though, Griffin.
Yeah.
Speaking of putting ourselves in place of our listeners, if I was the window washer, I would, upon looking at every window, think, what are they doing? I think that, like,
no,
that.
Of course you would. No, like, obviously you would, because.
This is what I wanted to say.
These people are doing an incredibly dangerous job. Are the fine people of the window washing industry. That's a dangerous gig, I'm thinking. They probably have some safety protocols in place, but by and large, it's more dangerous than a lawn gig.
It's just a bunch of balloons.
And it's boring. You know, it's probably a lot of it times, once you get into the rhythm, it's probably boring. You owe them, they have the right. What I'm saying is we owe them a little bit of entertainment, a little show.
Uh-huh.
I think to help them pass the time on the boring, dangerous thing that they are doing for our edification. This futile act that will be undone by entropy and the ravages of time in a matter of days. And birds. Thank you, Travis. And bugs. Just let them have a look-see at what you're doing.
Give him a show.
Just give him a show. Don't let him know you're there, though, because that's not their thing.
No, but it has just now occurred to me that this is probably why Hitchcock called his movie Rear Window instead of just Window, because it would be a way different experience in Rear Window if it was a cleaner 6 inches away. Just like, hey, did you kill somebody?
Hey. I saw that, mister.
I am right here.
You can pretend I don't exist like that guy in Washington that one time.
But I'm right here, and I'm pretty sure you killed your wife and maybe a dog in a bucket. It's been a while since Travis has seen Rear Window.
Why are you telling me about when Travis saw Rear Window?
Well, I'm just trying to share a brief moment of humanity with you to bring us closer together. Oh, you went in the kitchen, okay?
Bye. What do you do with all those creepy sneakrets that you find when you're going down the windows?
This is like code. This is the sacred code.
Oh.
Yeah, the sacred code of the window washer is that you may watch all the secrets, but you must lock them in an amulet that you keep around your neck.
That powers you.
Yeah, you whisper the secrets into the amulet, and that's what keeps your floating hover platform aloft.
Correct.
The power of secrets.
Oh, it's not cables, like in movies?
No. Those are just there to keep up appearances, but that's an illusion created by
the amulet.
How come every time someone gets on one of those in movies and TVs, it always falls?
Always falls. Wouldn't get on one in a movie.
Yeah. Like, I think the rate of incident in which the window washer platform does fall would have to be exceptionally low, or else... I would assume we just leave these bad boys dirty.
Do you think when window washers like see that move, they're like, "What? No, come on, that's
come
not,
on, get his restraints
not,
on.
Come on, that's not how it works. What are you? It's got redundancies. Are you kidding me? What is this?
I have to assume it has redundancies. Can I do a Yahoo?
I would like to see a scene in a movie where somebody gets onto the platform and everything, it's like tense music, but then it's just like a half hour scene of them figuring out how the controls work and then turning it on and then lowering themselves like 100 floors and then getting off at the bottom and then getting in a cab, you know?
I'd like to see a scene where the Green Goblin knocks a window washer's platform down and Spider-Man's like, oh, fuck, I got to get over there. And he swings over there and the window washer's like, I had proper safety protocols in place.
Yes, I mean, Spider-Man, there's redundancies.
I'm fine. There's redundancies, of course. If you're a window washer listening to podcasts, please get at us and let us know, I guess, everything that's going on over there.
Yeah, give us a play-by-play of what you see.
Yeah, and describe your amulet in detail.
Yeah, be honest. We'll know.
We'll know.
Here's a Yahoo that was sent in by Sean. Thanks, Sean. It's by Yahoo Answers user Nope, who has a he's got a question here that is that has been on the tip of my tongue, and Sean Nope has managed to put it into words in a way I never have. Thank you, Nope, for your bravery. Nope asks, why hasn't there ever been a wizard wrestler?
Huh.
Like in WWE, the wizard wrestler would have special powers like controlling other wrestlers via telekinesis. He'd definitely be jacked and wear a Speedo, but he'd also have a big white beard and a wizard hat. I did not read that part before. I did not vet that part correctly. I imagined a, more of a sort of Gandalfian vibe.
You were thinking more of a svelte, not so much beefcake, but perhaps, you know, like a svelte jaguar-esque, you know. Well,
I was more thinking about the hempen garments of a Christopher Lee, but not necessarily a Speedo with rippling muscles, but I guess wizards come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah,
and
it is interesting to me, Griffin, that you assume that Gandalf underneath that robe isn't rippling with muscles.
Isn't like huge. Yeah,
you
maybe.
Don't know that. Gandalf the Shredded.
Wrestling has some, it requires remarkable athleticism, and uh-huh. there is obviously an inherent risk to every bout that happens in that beautiful cage. But also sometimes they do a make-believe.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know that there's been a wrestler who would take off a sock and make you smell it so bad that you fall asleep. So I don't see why there can't be a wrestler who takes you over with his psychic powers.
Would that be the problem, though, is that wrestling is already has a sort of, we know this, this is not, there's a tenuous relationship to reality in wrestling, and they're constantly playing with that in a word that I will not attempt to pronounce because I've been saying it for 10 years and I've never managed to get it right. But it's
kayfabe.
Thank you. Sure, Travis had it this time. Tweeted him. But I feel like introducing it would be straining the bounds of believability if you did just have one wrestler show up, and this one does have.
Well,
magical powers.
It seems to me like people are okay with someone maybe being an Undertaker and maybe being dead in some way and like having a manager who may or may not be dead.
That was an act. I think if you're going to have a magician character, the premise can't be I always loved wizards growing up and so I've styled myself as a wizard. It must be, I'm a wizard who will win the fight with magic.
I find it hard to believe that there has not been a wrestler who could perhaps mesmerize or hypnotize up to this.
Well, okay, I mean, we do have something like that now. There is someone who uses what I will refer to as just sort of swamp magic to cast people into sort of illusory hellscapes.
That feels real. Yeah. And that doesn't bother me.
So we got that, right? Why not wizard? In the last WrestleMania, the fucking Undertaker killed AJ Styles. guys, he's a performer. He's an entertainer. Alan Jones
fucking
killed him and buried his dead ass 6 feet under the loam, dust to dust, baby. This dude's dead as disco, and then he's back the next week. So why not wizards, I guess?
What happened when he came back? Hold on, I am curious, Griffin. When he came back, was there any, like, zombie theme? Or, like,
he was just kind of back, and he was pretty peeved at The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But they only do The Undertaker at WrestleMania, so he kind of let bygones be bygones for another year at least.
He got over it.
He got over it. Maybe next WrestleMania, he'll show up at the Undertaker fight and be like, I did not appreciate you killing my ass dead and putting me in the ground like a dead body does.
I think if you were going to have a wizard character,
Yeah.
They would have to only be able to access their powers once X had been accomplished. They could not walk right out the gate and blast you with a fireball or lightning or whatever. It would have to be like they got a power up via getting punched enough, right? Or something. Maybe it's rage-fueled magic. Or it's the cheers of the crowd, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, we got Finn Balor who turns into the Beast when he gets psyched up. There's a lot of people who transform into bestial characters. So why not a fucking wizard, please?
Yes. Give me it's such a shame that live audiences aren't permitted at wrestling events now, because I would love to start seeing the crowd filled with why not a wizard signs.
Yeah.
Maybe once the things that, but I feel like the heat of this is going to be gone by the time we wrap up the COVID stuff.
Could it be a social campaign? Hashtag why not a wizard?
Tweet at Vince and everybody.
Well, you don't have to tweet at anybody. You can just tweet simply hashtag why not a wizard.
There is no wrestling connection to that.
Oh, you don't think that's obvious? I didn't think it needed to be stated. I think that when someone sees that, they will immediately think of the void in wrestling of being like, yeah, you're right. Why not a wizard?
Bray Wyatt has swamp magic and he transforms into a beast.
Well, he took both. He can't do that.
That's what I'm saying. Why there should be, even if somebody's already got a thing.
Why not a wizard?
Why not Roman Reigns? Some people are still not over. Just fucking give him telekinesis. It's so easy.
Some sort of baby face person, like one of the wrestlers that doesn't have a cool name. They just are their regular name.
Uh-huh.
And we're
like John Cena.
Like John Cena, who could come back as the wizard.
Maybe a character. Oh, maybe that's the thing is Roman Reigns, Griffin, you mentioned people. He was supposed to be a hero and then people didn't like him. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, that was ancient history, but still, yes, he is not over in some people's
hearts. Perhaps he discovers his powers. They manifest one day while saving someone. And this is, it's not retcon. This is a new development of like, yes. And also, I saw a child about to be hit by a car and I magicked that car away.
Okay. So
and that's how I found my powers.
He has this fantastical move where he cocks his arm like it's a shotgun and he jumps, he does jump in the air and he punches somebody with this arm that I guess he has prepared in some way. He has loaded it in some way. Yeah. So what if the next time he does it, he just cocks it and like a fucking lightning bolt comes out. And he's
there
like,
you go.
Whoa, what the fuck? Did you guys see that? And then we would do cussing in the WWE again. Which
wouldn't it be cool if one of the cool things about having a wizard is that you could, he's unbeatable, right? Because of magic. But you could, like there's an object outside of the ring in our world where his power is contained.
Uh-huh.
Because I think one of the things about wrestling that sucks is that it's always in that the square. And I feel like if they had an opportunity to do some storylines that was just the Undertaker rampaging through Detroit looking for the secret dagger of, we'll get it in post.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be so good because I would love to see Vince taking part in it. Like, did you find the dagger? Like, doing his very best acting.
We have to stab the heart.
You need to go into the ancient vault of Rylech.
I think at some point I've stopped describing wrestling and started describing shows.
Yeah.
But it would be cool if it was like shows.
What if there was a companion television show to wrestling? Where they were going on adventures, and maybe they were
going
to
say if there was a companion character to the Undertaker. Like, I know I don't have wrestling powers, but I'm here to provide some levity. My name is Dirk Taker. I'm your son.
I'm your son, and I will find the dagger, and I will stop the Magic Man. Griffin, are there any wrestlers?
I turned 17, Dad. I got my wrestling powers. I'm proud of you, Dirk.
I'm proud of you, Dirk Taker. Dad, I'm going to be a nice guy who brings life. What? He's disappointed me again, Dirk.
He's making his SmackDown debut, Son of the Undertaker. Everybody, here comes Dirk Taker. Oh, he's got a dagger. You can't.
He took that, Dirk.
Hey,
no, he's got my dagger. Oh, the wizard seems pretty worried about this.
For the first time, the wizard is worried.
My power has been compromised.
Oh, and it's the wizard's son, Tom. I'm Tom. I don't wrestle.
I guess Dirk Taker is swiping his knife at the... We got to call this, guys.
The wizard. His skin is melting, and the roaches that were ambulating his body started to disintegrate. That's right. He was just an ambulating skin shield for a bunch of living roaches.
We'll have to see how this affects the rankings or whatever.
I'm going to run WWE into the ground just from like budgets on the effects we're going to need for this show.
No, I would want it to be some ratty ass Men in Black 1 era, like PlayStation 1 low poly, just sort of dissolving man effect. Yeah. That would be so fucking good. God, we should write wrestling. They should let us do wrestling.
Are there any wrestlers who their whole gimmick, like their whole thing, is that they always seem surprised to be in a wrestling match? Like maybe they were just like a fan who got up to go to the bathroom or like buy a program or whatever, and then they're just like, wait, I'm a what? Huh? Oh.
What? Okay, Travis, this is perfect. The character's name is Phil Spigot, and he doesn't want to wrestle.
Yeah.
And what it happens is the wrestlers have to go and find him and start the wrestling against his will.
And he's just in line for the men's room.
Right. He doesn't know the wrestling is about to... That's the problem, is that all these wrestlers are waiting until the match starts. If you want to get serious about this, you need to start finding these people in their daily lives.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure...
Hey, where's Phil? I don't think he came to the wrestling match. I'm going to his house. I'm going to find him.
I think Braun Strowman was just like getting some pretzels at SmackDown. And they're like, what do you do, man? Get up there. look at your fucking body. Get up there.
Look at your incredible wrestler's body.
Holy shit. I'm an accountant. Yeah, no accounting for how big and beefy you are. Get up there.
I'm an undertaker. Yeah, we get it. I'm like a mortician.
Well, that's Taken, so you gotta pick something else.
You gotta pick something else, but I am an undertaker. That's Taken.
It's Taken. Can you be a wizard? I don't have powers. Damn it.
Fuck, that would be great if like a big wrestler got to be the wizard.
Yeah. Just like a big beefo.
If Brock Lesnar shows up to the next WrestleMania, they're like, uh-oh, baby, here we go. Suplex City. And he's like, no, I don't do that anymore.
Check out my beard. My huge, bushy, vulnerable beard.
He reaches into his fucking knife tattoo on his stomach and pulls out the actual dagger.
He's opened a portal to hell.
Whoa. Let me guess, you're going to suplex the other guy? I don't do that anymore.
I don't suplex anymore.
I use my mind now.
I control time with the amulet around my neck, and I have a cape that moves on its own.
Why would the wizard go into the ring? That's the question for me.
Yeah.
If the wizard has these incredible powers, what storyline reason is there for... He could be just waiting for the wrestler to wrestle somebody else, saying... eating some nachos in 37G and then just blaze them, right?
Well, the other wrestler said something mean about his girl.
Yeah.
And so maybe he smooched his mama or something. I don't know. I haven't watched wrestling since like 1998.
That's bad. Let me give you this. His spells are powered by punches. And he's building spell energy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he has to slap the person. You know, sometimes they slap their belly.
Yeah.
Don't you love that?
Yeah. It's fun.
That seems friendly.
It's fun. Nice.
Now, is it by punching
your...
others or getting punched, Justin?
It's not Sorry, even what? Punching, Travis. It's an open hand belly slap.
Yeah, it's an open hand belly slap.
I'm just saying that maybe the wizard's powers are powered by being punched by someone else.
Okay.
So they have to get punched to power up their powers.
That's huge.
That's cool, too. Should write wrestling. Get at us, whoever.
I'm just saying, wrestling, if you want us to write you, get at us.
Get at us.
Maybe it has to happen in a geometric shape and they're too lazy to make their own.
Mm.
So they just use the ring to do it.
What if the three of us filmed a sort of indie demo tape of us wrestling using this great fiction, but we did it in the front yard?
Oh.
Where everyone could see it, and then that way people wouldn't think that like something unsavory is happening. It's in the front. This is three boys front yard wrestling with supernatural elements.
I was going to suggest that perhaps we were all three wizards, and then I thought, what if that became the thing? Every wrestler is still themselves, but also everyone has powers now. We are basically, this is Mortal Kombat level. Oh yeah, that guy, he studied, you know, karate until he became a master, and also can turn into a dragon. They are separate, unrelated, but two things that he can do. He is a very good fighter and also can shoot ice out of his hands.
I mean, again, you're just kind of making show now.
Yes.
You're just kind of making Mortal Kombat the TV show.
But also there's a real human element to it.
Okay, it's too late. You fucked up the pitch. Fuck. No Damn. One's going to buy this.
It's, you know, we're going to have to fall back on our old funding model, advertising.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say selling plasma.
No.
I thought we were going to do the Max Fun Drive again, but I don't think we're allowed to do that.
No. Jesse said no. Okay, let's go.
You know what I love?
What?
Listening to things. And so that is why I enjoy Audible. They got audiobooks and so much more. They got original podcasts. They have like interviews with people. They got all kinds of cool stuff on there. I recommended this to Justin, and then we passed that on to Dad, and I've passed it on my friends. Audiobook that I thoroughly enjoyed, The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle.
Oh my God, it's the best.
If you love like mystery novels and you want to hear one like you've never heard before, The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle is absolutely incredible and will blow you away.
Okay. You haven't recommended this to me. So I don't know why you guys are having a
Stuart
secret.
Stuart Turton, the author of that, actually has another audiobook.
What?
Yes. It's called The Devil and the Dark Water. That is coming out in October. So there's another Audible one for you to look forward to.
Let's see, Maureen Johnson's Truly Devious series is
the best.
Incredible. Can't recommend enough. I just listened to James Acaster's classic Scrapes, which is so funny. Good. It's so good.
Sounds really good.
And listen, let's all be honest. You got some free time, right? We all have a little bit more free time this year than we were expecting. So why not sign up for Audible? Go to stories.audible.com and you can check it out. You can stream hundreds of ad-free, hand-picked Audible titles completely free, no strings attached. So go check it out by visiting audible.com/brother or text brother to 500-500. That's audible.com/brother and check it out. You won't regret it, I promise. I love you.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a weird energy.
Well,
I guess we got to say that after all our ads now, or else people are going to think we're assholes.
Well, I know it's the first time we've said it out loud in each other's presence, let alone to each other.
You were talking about to the audience too.
Well, no, I am. Oh, let me be clear. That wasn't to you guys.
Okay. Well, okay, let me take this for a spin. Raycon makes very, very stylish premium earbuds that have great sound, and they got this new model, Raycon does, called the Everyday E25 earbuds. I love you guys so much.
Whoa.
But these are their best earbuds yet. They got 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design, and a noise-isolating fit. And you guys are so special to me. And these
are you
earbuds
talking to us or the audience?
The earbuds are stylish and discreet. There's no dangling wires or unsightly stems. Just pure machine. Just you and the machine, baby. I love you. Give them a try, though.
Wait.
They have a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure they're the pair of wireless earbuds for you, my special little guy. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your order. Isn't that great? If you go to buyraycon.com/mybrother, that's buyraycon.com/mybrother for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Make sure to check it out now while the deal's running. Buyraycon.com/mybrother, my eternal flame.
Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek? Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too.
Butts, 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 butts.
No.
Will you change your mind?
I have another question.
Oh, sure.
Sure. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday afternoon, my roommates and I had a tie-dye party where I brought the dyes and we were going to do a bunch of shirts.
Of course.
At least I thought we were. My roommates both only brought one shirt each.
Ugh.
And then had fun dyeing some of my old t-shirts as well. Looking at their shirts now before washing, I'm 100% certain that once I unwrap one, it's just going to be solid yellow because she used too much dye and I didn't notice. This is going to be so disappointing, especially since now I have five cool shirts to her one solid yellow shirt. What should I do?
Oh,
try to fix it before giving it to her? Tell her now, almost 24 hours later, that I didn't notice she messed up? Throw it away and start a whole new shirt? Please help. I don't have much time before I have to get the shirts back. Holy shit. This is actually a surprisingly challenging question.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. That's from Tie Dying for an Answer in Chicago.
There's a lot of hair on this one. There's a lot of flies in the ointment.
Oh, because they only got the one shirt. They took one crack at it.
This was a mistake. You don't show up to a tie-dye party with one shirt because that's saying like, hey, everybody, it's me, the world's best tie-dyer.
Right.
Sit back and watch me do my fucking thing.
It is a cold shot. It is, this one shirt is going to be better than your five.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't trust myself.
It is a competition. You are competing.
Yeah. What, are you going to tie-dye for the fun of it? No, you tie-dye so that you have a good product at the end.
Yeah, it's not that fun. It's maybe for a child. You know what I mean? For a child, it's fun, but you really want the finished product. I went, my girls tie-dyed a shirt somewhere. God, I can't even forget. It's been years. But they were so excited. They tie-dyed their shirts, and then they said, now you just leave it in this bag for 24 hours. Are you fucking kidding me? You might as well have told my kids to throw this in an incinerator and forget it ever existed for as long as that sounded. Tie-dyeing isn't fun.
Some people like it, Justin. A lot of it.
It's pleasurable as a craft, but as a layman, it's not fun.
Okay.
Well, there are many things, Justin, I would argue that for some people are fun to do and for others are incredibly boring.
Sure.
This is obviously, do I have to codify everything I say on the show as, this is just my perspective, but
this is just my skewed view.
Right. Let's start doing options, okay? Number one, you give her the yellow shirt and you say, congratulations, you made a shirt yellow. And you didn't do what you were trying to do, but this shirt wasn't yellow before, and now it is. And isn't that empowering?
You have accomplished something.
You have accomplished something.
Changed the nature of something. It's very nature.
And if they're like a bright summer, then this is really gonna compliment them. You know what I mean? I love a yellow. I look great in a yellow. It's my favorite color. If you told me, hey, Griffin, you didn't your attempt to iron on, you know, this picture of the cast of Night Court on this shirt didn't go so well, but you did dye it straight yellow. You smudged bull and made the shirt straight. Just a big stretched out.
He looks like a thumb because you smudged his face and now it's just a thumb.
No, Richard Mole takes up the entirety of the shirt, just his bloated, stretched out, ruined face. But
you nailed Larroquette.
Larroquette's great. He's just on the back. But no, if it's just yellow, then I'd be fine because it's still a good shirt. It's still a fine shirt.
But if that wasn't your goal, Griffin, it's like if I set out to make chicken soup and I ended up with a fine gazpacho, like I think I'd be disappointed and confused no matter how good the gazpacho was.
You have to have, I think you can fix it because when they open it, one, they're going to be so delighted by this amazing thing, these circles of color, come on. They're going to be loving it. But even if that moment passes, and it will, like all pleasure, I don't think they're going to have a moment where they say, wait a minute. Did they tie down my tie-dye?
Unless...
It's so inconceivable. No, I will not. I shan't.
You have to go.
I can't grant you this.
You have to go. It's in the contract. Unless...
Unless...
They didn't want a tie-dyed shirt. They wanted a yellow shirt.
Fuck. God damn it. I hate the just once I'd like to find some fucking black and white in this world rather than living my existence in perpetual shades of gray.
Yep.
But Travis is right, of course. That's entirely possible. They had a shirt that was one color and they wanted it to be yellow instead. That's entirely possible.
That you said we're gonna tie dye and they thought, I'm never gonna wear a tie dye shirt.
But hey, free dye.
I have been looking for an excuse to turn this shirt yellow.
Hey, can I do a Yahoo?
Yeah, I'd love that.
We didn't help that person at all.
Not a bit.
Nope.
Not a lick. It's too hard. Can't do it. Things are rough.
You finally hit something we can't help with.
I think it's because we don't know anything about tie-dye.
No.
That's a problem.
I don't know if you can tie-dye on top of tie-dye. Once the shirt is yellow, can you dye again?
Can you dye it another day?
Ooh. Mm.
This Yahoo is sent in by the wizard, Emma Kant. What do you think about that?
Ooh. Okay.
I like that.
Emma, thank you. It's an anonymous Yahoo
answer. Why not a wizard?
Why not a wizard? This one's by a Yahoo Answers user. They're anonymous, so I'm going to call them Preston Asks.
Oh, like prestidigitation.
What?
Like prestidigitation would be my wizard.
My name is Preston Digitation, and cool. I'm here to change the world of wrestling.
I also flip real good.
Look at these flips. They are not magically enhanced. They're physical flips.
And also lightning.
That's hard. If you practice really hard to do cool flips as the wizard wrestler, you have to keep reassuring people that, no, I trained to do those.
Preston asks, if you could combine two sports to make a new sport, mm-hmm. which two would you pick and why? There's room right now for a new sport to take off.
Football and jousting.
Football and jousting. Travis did not even think about it before he went for football and jousting, which is kind of like polo, sort of.
Walk me through it, Trav. What's it look like?
Well, it's you have the big linemen. But they also have big pointy sticks.
Does anybody else have pig? Are they on horseback?
No, the wide receivers and the running backs are sitting on the linemen's shoulders.
Oh, so they're playing like chicken, sticks. Like at a pool. But they have
big sticks, big pointy sticks. Also, what about water polo and regular polo?
That's cool.
Now there's horses in the pool.
Yeah.
Forever. And don't get me wrong, the pool is shallower. The horses can touch the bottom. Horses aren't swimming.
So you've basically created the most dangerous sport for if you do fall off the horse.
Oh, yeah,
and get trampled underwater. That's a Dunsky right there.
Yeah.
That's a season wrap. Let's think about this because I think there's some sports that could serve as like a really exciting modifier for virtually every other sport.
Yeah.
Like I think if we took NASCAR,
uh-huh,
and blended it with literally anything else.
Jousting.
That's rough. I'm trying to think of the safety of the athletes, Trav, and I guess I'm alone in that.
Okay, well then soccer, but with car. No, that's a game, isn't it?
It's a game, yeah, I think so.
I'm going to say, okay, picture this.
Okay.
NASCAR.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're going real fast.
Uh-huh.
But in order to win, you have to hit a ramp, pass by a basketball net and slam dunk it out of the
dunk
car
it.
Window.
That's cool. Ooh. See, now we're talking.
Yeah, right?
I think NASCAR and just, can I just say the X Games?
Huh. That's to see a snowboarding car, like replace the wheels, I guess, with like rails, with like skis.
Yeah.
And now they're doing a big jump. I like the big jumps.
I mean, boxing in any other sport, it's like now they fight. It's like baseball, but they fight.
Well, they already fight in baseball sometimes, but they're not supposed to.
But you can win.
Yeah.
You play baseball and you're doing great, but, you know, say the Angels are down, you know, 9-0, bottom of the ninth, and they're like, hey, wait a minute. Let's just fucking get these guys. And so you go over there and you just start punching the other people in the dugout until the ump is like, game, Angels. Come from behind, victory.
Okay. Here's my pitch. Here's my pitch. This is my pitch.
Okay.
Combine every sport individually, not like into one big mass. I'm saying like this, like with Capture the Flag, where you're playing baseball, but also in each dugout, right, there's a flag.
Oh,
and if,
my God.
If the other team is distracted and you can get over there and get it. Same with like football. There's a flag on the sidelines. Soccer, there's a flag in the side. Like there's just a flag. But if you can get their flag back over to your side while they're busy playing the game, you win.
It's got to be baseball, right? Because I'm thinking about it now. Every other like of the major sports has had the sexier version made of it. We got slam ball for basketball. We got XFL for NFL. But baseball, I'm not even thinking of it like NASCAR can modify everything better. I'm thinking about baseball needs of that sauce.
What's it need? Yeah.
What it needs a little bit of that sauce. And I think having some other sort of excitement on top of baseball is the secret.
I got a good one.
Okay.
Shot put and curling.
Ooh. Sorry.
No, wait. Yes. No. Yes. I got it. Discus and curling. So you're doing your curling, right? And you're scooting the thing down the pipe. And then at any moment, someone could come and scoop up your disc and hurl it as far as they can. And then your sport has stopped and their sport has begun. So you have to get it over across before someone can storm out of the darkness and take your disc and throw it as far as they can.
Okay.
That's neat. That's a neat idea.
In fact, shot put plus anything is very good.
That is true.
Like you could be playing football and you're like holding the ball, but ooh, you better pass it quick or else a strong person's going to run out of the shadows and grab it as far as they can. And it won't be in a way you like.
I am pretty sure American football is soccer plus shot put, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
I'm going to kick the ball. No, wait, that guy grabbed it and threw it.
There's always just big fellas trying to take the ball away from you. That's sort of like inherent. That's like important, an important facet of the sport. I got a great one.
Okay.
What about cross-country skiing?
Uh-huh.
And rifle shooting.
Oh, is this the most dangerous game kind of thing?
No, you wouldn't be shooting at each other. You would cross-country ski for a while and, you know, go for a long time. And so you're kind of racing like that. But then you get to like a target range where you have to shoot a bunch of targets with your rifle. And then you set it down and you just keep on skiing, baby.
Okay, so, uh-huh. What's the addition here?
What do you mean?
Like, how is this improving both sports?
Because you're watching people cross country ski, and then you're like, "This is getting boring." Whoa, what are they doing? And then they get out a rifle and they're like, "Pa pa 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 pa."
Now there is downhill skiing with lasers, right?
I'm doing a joke. It's
called the biathlon.
It's called the biathlon, you fucking guys. But you weren't even. Sometimes I do a fucking joke on this show, and it like doesn't work because you guys don't get it.
Joke's an interesting.
It makes me pretty pissed. It makes me pretty pissed off. If I'm being honest.
Oh no! Wait, I've got it. Wait, before we go on, baseball and ballroom dancing. You catch the ball and then you have to do a little dance and you get judged on it.
That's good.
And you hit the ball and you have to do a little dance before you can run. Or you do the dance while you're running. And you got a samba to the first base. You got a rumba to second base. Tango to third.
I want a munch.
Squad.
I want to munch.
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast about the latest and greatest of brand eating. I'm going to
Did you say
start
brain eating?
Brand eating. I'm trying to do more headlines right now because there's not as many deep dives, but there are some things that I do want to pass on to you. Wiener Schnitzel is a chain.
You kiss your wife in that mouth?
Wiener Schnitzel announces lineup for new cheesy Oozfest.
Oh, fuck, Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh,
steal yourself. Oozfest has arrived at Wiener Schnitzel, and it's going to be epic. Experience unsurpassed deliciousness with the chain's new cheese sauce, taking the spotlight on three fan favorites. It says in the quote, and this is from the CMO of Wiener Schnitzel, Doug Kokobon, we're confident our Oozfest event will be a big hit. If you like cheese, you're gonna love these. After one bite, you'll be requesting an encore.
Oh, God.
I assume after this, he said, are any of those anything? I have other things to do. And the press release says, no need to trek to a desert to experience these amazing headliners. That possibility had not occurred to me, Wiener Schnitzel.
Wait, why would I go there, Wiener Schnitzel?
Because this tasty trio will be touring your nearest Wiener Schnitzel, but for a limited time only.
Where did the desert come from? Burning Man thing?
What? I guess it's a Burning Man thing.
What's the desert?
That's the festival that Wiener Schnitzel has heard about.
Hey, Justin, is it EWWS? Ooze?
Fucking got him. This is a very brief one because it's just a sad story, but I do. This is in the general actual news category. No, Taco Bell was not done with their absolutely like slash and burn crusade against their own shit.
Their scorched earth policy?
Yeah, the final revamp of 2020.
We're just doing empty shells.
No, they're getting rid of... They're getting rid of Mexican pizza.
No!
One of the more authentic dishes.
yeah.
At Taco Bell. They're getting rid of Mexican pizza. They're getting rid of pico de gallo. What? And they're getting rid of shredded chicken. Now, if you say you want chicken, you won't be able to specify that you want that shit shredded. You're going to just only have one style of chicken.
Huh.
Wow.
Removing, this is actually going to trip you out pretty bad. Taco Bell said removing Mexican pizza will help it leave a lighter footprint since the Mexican pizza's packaging accounts for more than 7 million pounds of paperboard material per year in the U.S. Are you
fucking shit? What?
We're crazy for this pizza.
What?
I want to see a graph now with this, which is like human waste of all year, and then one sliver of it is like a not inconsiderable portion is Mexican pizza packaging.
Wow.
So that's mind-blowing. And our last story, rest in peace, shredded chicken. Our last story comes to us from the Hershey Company. The Reese's brand is here to save your morning with the new Reese's Snack Cakes, a first of its kind mid-morning cake treat by the Reese's brand you love. You read that right. A Reese's treat to enjoy in the morning.
But
forever. That's what it says.
It says forever?
Yep, you read that right. A Reese's treat to enjoy in the morning. Forever.
Does that just mean like this is not a limited time thing, friends? This is calling
it forever.
What is a morning cake?
Research shows 83% say they have indulged in dessert before noon in the past month. Hey, Reese's, can you think of any other fucking reason that might be? You absolutely. The colonel is like, no, 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 careful. No, no, no. It's the COVID thing. I know I ignored it for 6 months too before I changed finger looking good. It's the COVID thing. You're wandering right into it. So we had a crazy idea.
Oh?
Give Reese's fans permission to have cake as a mid-morning snack whenever they want. So Reese's sees us at the bottom of the well. In a deep global depression, and rather than extend a hand down to us to help us swim out, it just starts dumping peanut butter and cake onto us. Right. Like, here, we'll help you. This is helping. I'm helping.
Here's a shovel. Dig down.
Dig down. There's got to be something better. With Reese's snack cakes, Reese's fans can enjoy a delicious combination of chocolate and peanut butter cream without having to wait until lunch. We wanted to create the perfect treat for Reese's fans to satisfy that mid-morning sweet tooth, said Mike Orr, snacks brand manager. We know sometimes you just don't want to wait until lunch. That's how Reese's snack cakes were born. It's like the Reese's brand's first ever mid-morning treat offers real milk chocolate and Reese's peanut butter cream in a 2-cake pack. Available December 2020 at convenience stores nationwide. Now you can indulge in a Reese's treat any time of day.
What?
Consider morning officially saved. Hashtag not sorry.
Okay. First of all.
Yeah.
That put it
it's
over.
A lot.
That was over the top, the hashtag was over
it's a lot.
What was stopping me from eating a Reese's cup in the morning?
That's fucking clearly nothing, because according to your own fucking research, 83% of us are enjoying a little mid-morning. So
yeah. So why is now making it a little breadier make it okay for me to do?
Yeah, and y'all, like, listen, you're not looking at these cakes. They're cakes. You're not making, this is not like a fucking biscotti. It's like a layer of cake wrapped in chocolate with Reese's on it. It's a dessert. And you're just saying that you can eat it at 10 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't do anything.
We give you permission. I clearly didn't need it when 83% of me was already doing it.
Do you think that 17% was waiting on cake?
You're just waiting for it. I'd love to eat a Reese's right now, but 17% of us say it's no good. Maybe those 17% will be swayed by cake.
Possibly.
Perhaps if cake.
That's why
I do want it, though. I want it.
I want to eat. I'm so hungry looking at it. You have no idea. I would do anything to eat this cake.
I'm
going
to time travel to December 2020 when it's done so I can eat it.
You know what? It's 1:39 and maybe the vaccine, too. You don't know.
Yeah.
We might be having celebratory Reese's snack cakes. With a delicious.
All right, Justin, you can only have one. December 2020. What do you pick?
Oh, the cake. For
okay,
because
sure.
The cake might fix the cake. We don't know the cake won't fix.
COVID. Yeah,
that's true.
The cake definitely isn't a hoax.
Yeah,
let's just leave it at that.
Jeez.
Oh boy.
Oh golly.
I will also wait until Reese's gives me permission to get a vaccine.
83% of you are getting mid-morning vaccines.
I'm just waiting for the Reese's scientists to determine that it's safe.
Just so you know, Justin, in the future, if you do bring Wiener Schnitzel into the Munch Squad, I am going to go, because I did now. I was in my hole for a while. Whenever anybody brings up Wiener Schnitzel, I climb into my hole that exists in my fucking mind palace. Is a rage hole, because Wiener Schnitzel is a hot dog restaurant, and Wiener Schnitzel is not a hot dog. It is a breaded veal cutlet. And the guy that started Wiener Schnitzel was like, I need a name for my hot dog place. And he was looking in one of his wife's recipe books and saw Wiener Schnitzel in there. He's like, that's a great name.
Got for my Wiener hot dog right place. There, doesn't it?
It's got Wiener right there in it. And I hope his wife was like, oh, John, stop. Look at the picture, John.
I wish John you were a more attentive reader and lover.
He said when he started the restaurant, quote, nobody wanted to call their company Wiener Schnitzel. 3 days later, I said, hell, it's better than John's hot dogs. No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. And you know why, John? Because John's hot dogs has hot dogs in it.
And I'm pretty sure Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs is a very popular brand.
Yep. It's not Nathan's Famous Sushi that sells hot dogs. They got the name right. It has the right food in it. Anyway. Apparently, they sold Wiener Schnitzel for a few months in 2017. I assume that was just to get me off their case.
Did it work?
Nope.
He could see right through it.
Hey, guys, be quiet for 30 seconds. Can you do that?
Sure. Sure.
Here you go. Double cheese fries, double cheese chili fries, and a double cheese chili dog. Enjoy.
Wow. Everyone seems to love our Ooze Fest event.
Yeah, we are actually running low on cheese sauce.
Weird. I just made a bunch. I'll go check it out. Oh, that explains it. Cool.
At this point, I should just pause real quick to say that there's a person in a giant hot dog suit, and they've got a jacuzzi tub filled with cheese sauce, and they're ladling more into it.
Okay.
And they're about to climb into it, and they're wearing a towel because they're about to get into the cheese sauce.
I'm glad you broke that down for us, because I was confused.
Floaties.
The towel has dropped from the hot dog while this young man looks on.
Dive into all the new cheesy goodness during Ooze Fest at Wiener Schnitzel.
So
do they reference the hot dog's genitals?
Do they say, so does the dude
wouldn't
like...
Wouldn't it be amazing if it had another smaller hot dog?
I mean, that's what it has to be, Justin.
Has to be. Thank you for listening.
The employee pushes his sunglasses down the bridge of his nose like,
Oh yeah. Thank you for listening to my brother. You don't work there if you don't find hot dogs sexy.
Right?
Thanks for listening to...
I would actually think you can't work there without later finding, like, you just handle them so much.
Yeah.
It's going to creep its way into your brain.
Let this end. This has been My Brother Made It's Advice Show for the Modern Era. Thank you so much for listening. We so appreciate you being here. It's new month, which means there's some new merchandise in our store,
including those B pins.
We got hilarious B pins.
Oh, are those out? Fuck,
yeah.
Those are
good.
So funny. So go check that out. And also you can pre-order our book.
Yeah.
It's there for sale. It's at Amazon, or
you can go to McElroyPodcastBook.com. And pre-order it there. It is a practical how-to guide on how to make a podcast that you are proud of. Everybody has a podcast except you, written by the three of us. It comes out in January. Pre-order it now. McElroyPodcastBook.com. It's also kind of fun. You'll like it.
It's
fun. It's
got jokes in it and games for the kids. Have games.
No.
Thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows there. Shows like Jordan Jesse Go, shows like Switchblade Sisters, and so many more at MaximumFun.org. I think that's it. Oh, and check out The Besties if you haven't. It's mine and Justin's video games podcast that we do with our buds, Russ and Chris. You can find it on Spotify for free. Check it out. The last episode we did was on a bunch of games, and it was a lot of fun. You want the final?
Oh, yeah.
This final one was sent in by the wizard, Emma Kant. Thank you, Emma. It's Yahoo Answers user Brian, whose fucking profile picture is a very intimidating close-up of Santa Claus.
Ooh.
Like, he's got this, he actually has his little Santa Claus spectacles pushed down the bridge of his nose, as if he's saying, like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that hot dog's wiener.
So, Brian asks, can I order a Subway sandwich deconstructed?
My name is Justin.
I'm Travis McElroy.
We talk about Subway a lot, don't we?
They do salads. This has been My Brother and Me. That's Griffin. Kiss your dad, score on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.